Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time to talk to the top Trailblazers beat reporter.
I finally feel like they're using Evan Turner correctly.
The ultimate insider on Portland basketball and the NBA.
This is probably the most dynamic second unit.
This is the Blazer Fan Insider with Jason Quick of The Athletic. Brought to you on The Fan by Change Realty, home of the 1% listing fee. You
know, all right, the Blazers hit the All-Star break. 34-23. They are fourth in the West, one game up on the Rockets and two games up on the Jazz and the Spurs. Here's Jason Quick. Great win last night. Any friction regarding the minutes distribution at the end of that game?
I don't know. It's hard because I was very centric in what I was pursuing in the locker room, so I didn't get to talk to a lot of guys and I wasn't kind of roaming around. I heard C.J. McCollum was not available, that he kind of cut out real early, and he didn't play in the fourth quarter. Actually, Lillard was the only starter who played in the fourth quarter. So I think this is getting real interesting. Not only are they playing well, but there's a ton of unanswered questions right now as far as the rotation. And I don't know that there will be answers in the near future. I think Terry Stotts, as he's kind of admitted, is going to have to play this by ear, game by game, and sometimes quarter by quarter.
Can you remember a time in a big game like that where CJ was benched for the entire fourth quarter?
Never.
Does he duck out? I mean, like, is it normal for him to duck out, or is that clearly a correlation to the minutes?
I have no idea. And again, I can't speak definitively on that because I was in tunnel vision pursuing a Zach story. So I don't even know if he talked to any media, but I heard that he kind of ducked out.
All right. Well, Stotts is certainly juggling a bit here. He's been handed the emergence of Jake Layman, which is interesting, but then, you know, Hood and now Cantor. I mean, do you think he's struggling with this, or is this one of those good problems to have he'll eventually find the right combo?
Yeah, obviously it's a good problem to have, but it's going to test his coaching acumen. I think there's a lot of facets to being a good coach. You know, there's kind of coming up with an offense and defensive philosophy. There's in-game adjustments. There's plays out of timeouts, and there's also managing your rotation. And he's never been challenged this much with a rotation and having to juggle guys. This is probably the deepest collection of talent that he's had. And someone's going to get squeezed out. He had been playing 10 guys before the Rodney Hood trade, so that pushed it to 11. And now with Cantor, you could argue that 12 guys deserve to be or could make a case to play. Obviously, he's not going to do that. The conventional wisdom is a lot of coaches play 10 guys, then it comes down to March and April, and you cut that down to 9, and then in the playoffs, you play 8. So he's got some decisions. At first blush, it looks like Myers is definitely out of the rotation now, and that Zach Collins will probably be the next casualty, along with Seth Curry. Seth Curry's had a huge drop in minutes, except for last night. And also Evan Turner has been slashed considerably, his minutes, about 9 minutes a game since they signed Rodney. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Stotts plays this. And I think a lot of it's going to depend on which players play well. And right now, you got to play Jake Layman. And last night, I thought he played it right. He rolled with that unit that was playing well, and they won them the game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and I know I read your piece on Zach Collins and kind of his makeup, and it was a good read. Obviously, there's a
– I heard you guys making fun of it.
Well, no, we were making fun of
it. I haven't even read it. I'm sorry. Is that worse?
You got to admit, the dad comes across as kind of a toughy Tufferton there. There's a little bit of that tough guy sports dad. But it's interesting. I was going to ask you about his makeup because reading that piece, obviously there is a the whole point of it is kind of the mental like and physical toughness of Zach Collins, but you know, and last night you saw the fire and he played a big role in that win, even though I think he only had the 4 points. But it just his mental makeup, if he is the odd man out along with Myers Leonard and he doesn't play, what does that do for his long term development?
I don't think it will stunt it, because I still think he'll get opportunities, but I just don't think they'll be as consistent, depending on how he plays. But look, this guy, if you're going to list his strengths, I think his mental makeup is at the top of his strengths. And, you know, the players early last year when he was a rookie, that was the first thing that they would talk about is that, hey, this kid doesn't back down. He's fearless. And then you remember early last year, I think it was a game at Boston where he got smashed in the face and a bunch of blood in his mouth. I think a tooth was loose, or he certainly got a fat lip, but he didn't want to go out of the game. He didn't, you know, you see like Nurk and Myers, they get hit and they make sure everyone knows that, oh my God, I got hit in the face. There's none of that with this kid. He's not going to, you know, play things up, and he just wanted to stay in the game and keep playing. And I think that's something that this team needs. And we've seen his fire last year in the playoffs when they were getting rolled by New Orleans. He was the first guy to show some fight and show some gumption when he got into a push-in match with Rondo. So I like him. I really like Zach. I like what he brings. He's had a really disappointing season. And in our conversation last night, he said, he can't put his finger on what happened after that great first 2 weeks that he had to the season. But he says he's kind of going back and forth on when to be aggressive and when not. And I think that's a kind of a cliche and trite thing to say. I think he's just really confused why it's not coming easier to him. I think a lot of it has to do with foul trouble. He gets in, still commits a lot of silly fouls, particularly in setting screens, and that has kind of hampered his ability to stay on the floor. But I still think he's going to be a good player, but I still think right now you have to say this has been a little bit of a step back for him. Not a step back, but he hasn't progressed, I think, as quickly as most people would have thought or hoped.
This is Jason Quick, our Blazers insider. Read his stuff on The Athletic, and he is joining us via the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild hotline. Okay, so one other question on the rotation. Is it possible that it will just be fluid, even in the playoffs, because it's going to depend on who they're playing? I think the interesting thing is they're pretty versatile. You know, it's like if Cantor can't guard anybody, you're in a playoff series where you need a little defense from a big, you can throw Collins in there. And so they've got these guys who can all do kind of different things. Maybe it'll just be a Terry Stotts-like operation, and it's just mix and match depending on the game.
Yeah, I think that is an option, Isaac, and I think it's going to be fascinating to watch. You know, like you said, Cantor's a really good offensive player, not so great defensively. If they need some defense late in the game, you throw Collins in there. If you need some spacing, you throw Myers in there, because Cantor doesn't really shoot three-pointers. And Rodney Hood, he really interests me as well. It was interesting in the fourth quarter of the Oklahoma City game, Stotts started a lineup that had Curry at point guard and Hood in there, but he had Hood initiate the offense a couple times, and it looked okay. He didn't look out of his element. So I think there's could be some scenarios that they're working on where Rodney Hood kind of initiates the offense at times, maybe stealing some of that Evan Turner role. You know, if Evan's not playing well, then they have the point forward with Rodney Hood. I think they're going to experiment with that as they come out of the break here. So there's a lot of different options. I think, though, that really you're going to want to have your top eight identified and go with that in the playoffs.
So what about Lehman, man? I mean, did they see this coming, what he's been doing the last month?
No, not at all. And I'm stunned. I really am, because when he was kind of emerging and having a couple big games, I was like, yeah, well, let's see him do it for an extended period of time. Well, he's done it for an extended period of time, and I think he should be starting. And I asked Stotts about that pregame last night. I said, why isn't Jake Layman or Rodney Hood starting? And in typical Terry Stotts fashion, he said, you know what? I'm not going to get into that. Thanks. And so we have no idea. He has, no explanation for why he continues to start Maurice Harkless. I get what Maurice Harkless has done in the past, but it's clear that Maurice Harkless is a different player now. His knees have robbed him of his stamina, of his explosiveness, of everything. I mean, Mo some nights is just out there running around, and Jake, when he's in there, he makes things happen. So I don't know why you waste that first 7 minutes of Maurice Harkless with the starting unit when you can be getting some production out of Jake.
Do you have a sense, like, what we see this where a guy, you know, lends sanity, right, for a month or two, he comes on.
Yeah.
Is it even possible to have an idea of what Jake Layman is long term, or is it just a head scratcher at this point?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, this is an incredibly, incredibly athletic league, and Jake is standing out because of his athleticism. So I think that says something. It's not like he's just stroking it and he's on a hot streak of shooting. He's beating guys on back cuts. He's leaping over people. He's beating people with his speed. So it's his ability. It's not just him in a good groove. It's God-given stuff that he's outperforming guys. So I think that is a little encouraging that this could be a long-term thing.
And then let's talk about the new guy, Cantor. I assume he'll be suiting up once the Blazers pick back up after the All-Star break. What do they anticipate getting from him? What does he bring to the table?
Well, he's a great rebounder, and he's a really skilled offensive guy. And they keep talking about his playoff experience as well, and that he's a veteran. He knows this game. He's been in every situation. He's been a starter. He's been a reserve. So I don't think he's going to have to get used to coming off the bench or have to swallow anything. And I think a big thing, too, he wants to be here. He chose the Blazers. There were other teams pursuing him, and he wanted to be in Portland. So I think that's a plus. But he'll join the team next Wednesday in Brooklyn, and they'll practice. So he'll get one practice in before they play Brooklyn. But Stott said he immediately becomes the backup five.
Do you think that they're looking at him for a contract? I mean, I know he's unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, or is this just rent him and then he'll go on his way?
I don't know. I think you kind of wait and see how he fits. And, you know, like Yusuf Nurkic got in the system and he just blossomed. And he discovered that, boy, this guy can pass. He can do all this stuff. So I think they'll kind of wait and see how Enes fits in the locker room, fits in this rotation. And then go from there. But this has become suddenly a very, very intriguing team and a very intriguing time of the season. I think this is going to be kind of a fun ride down to the end of the season, final 25 games.
It's getting good.
Yeah, and you feel like outside of Golden State, you know, no offense to last night, but I think we all know come playoff time when they're fully there, no one really thinks anyone's a challenge to Golden State. But outside of that, I think there's a lot of why not when you look through the West.
There is. It's a little disconcerting how well Oklahoma City has beaten the Blazers in the three games. They just look like they're a class above when they face head-to-head. But I think you're right. There's no clear division with the top two or top three like there has been in the West for the last couple of years. So the thing that's not great for the Blazers is they played the most home games out of anybody in the NBA, and their final 25 games, I think they have 9 home games and 16 road games, and they've been terrible on the road. So that doesn't bode well for them. I think this 7-game trip coming out of the All-Star break is going to be really defining for them.
Yeah, because that could mean not getting home court in the playoffs, and that would be...
This team has to get home court. They really have to get home court. And that's a tight race right now.
Okay, and then last question is something that came up the other day. Who wins in a battle? What did you say, a battle
yeah,
royale?
Yeah, we were talking about, it's kind of like what your story was talking about, the whole Zach Collins tough guy thing. And you know,
that was today we were talking about that?
No, it's just that it kind of all ropes it together. It was earlier this week we were talking about if the Blazers, because they kind of have this edge now, right? Lillard's a little scrappy, mm-hmm. and like Evan Turner trains like MMA, and they're always posting like boxing videos. If there was an official Donnybrook, a WWE battle royale in the locker room, no holds barred, who wins?
Evan Turner.
Really?
Whoa.
Yes.
Rob called Evan Turner fat the other day.
Seriously?
He's fat.
Yeah.
Evan
is a, he takes boxing seriously. I mean, he like seriously trains and boxes. And he's from a rough part of Chicago. I think he's roughed it up before. I think he's gotten his knuckles dirty and his nose dirty. He's a tough guy. And yeah, I think he wins.
He also might be a little crazy. Is he a little crazy, Turner?
He is a little crazy, yeah. I love Evan, though. I really do. I think he's a really good person. He's a little weird and out there, but he is a really well-intentioned human.
Yeah.
See, this is why we go to Quick, the inside scoop.
We never would have guessed that
Turner was going to be the winner, and you didn't hesitate at all.
No.
No. Who'd you think?
Well, we were kind of thinking that, like, maybe Nurk would have something.
I had the hammer, man.
Yeah. He looks like the part. He looks like he should be able to whoop someone's ass.
He's put together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Myers is a physical specimen, and he is 7 feet. Yeah, I don't know. Evan's a tough guy. I think he might beat Myers with his quickness, and Myers is just a big old teddy bear. I don't see Myers getting mad and
need an edge
throwing blows.
I don't appreciate you not calling him by his name. It's the hammer.
Who?
The hammer.
Oh, the hammer. Yeah.
The hammer.
I love that's he's the self. He tried so hard this year to become the hammer. Like, come on, that's
yeah.
It's a bit much.
And part of the story behind that is at the Rose Garden, you know, when he makes a basket, they used to go, oh, my, over the loudspeaker, and he hated that. So he needed a catchphrase or something, so he wanted Hammer, and so now they do, I think, an MC Hammer tune when he scores or hits a three or something. But that really, really bothered him.
Wow.
I love self-imposed nicknames. It's like, hey, quit calling me Myers. It's the Hammer now. I'm going to carry a hammer around with me.
Bro.
All right, Jace, thank you.
Okay, see you guys next week.
All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.